Shalom, everyone. Netanyahu is scheduled to meet with Donald Trump at the White House this next Monday. This could be a historic meeting. There is a new Gaza ceasefire looking for hostage release. It's being proposed, and Hamas is duly considering it. Trump has called for the Netanyahu trial going on in Israel to dismiss all charges against Benjamin Netanyahu. The IDF is continuing to strike targets in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. And the question is now being raised, will Israel annex the Samaria and Judea areas in Israel and change the map of Israel? Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion & Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Here's the news for this July 4th here of the year 2025. So Netanyahu is going to be arriving at the White House on Monday, and Trump very clearly has telegraphed and spoke to what he wants to accomplish. This could be a historic meeting. Trump clearly wants the Gaza war to be over with, and I think he wants to announce the Gaza war is ended. It'll be based on this latest negotiation that is coming together for hostage release, a 60-day period of ceasefire, and a number of hostages will be released. But while they're doing that, they also negotiate the end of the war.
לא יהיה חמאסטן, לא חוזרים לזה, הדבר הזה נגמר. אנחנו נשחרר את כל חטופינו ואנחנו נחיה את החמאס. לא יהיה, לא יהיה. לא באמת, איך אפשר להגיד את זה? זה שתי מטרות נוגדות, איזה שטויות. איזה שטויות. זה עובד ביחד, אנחנו נשלים את זה ביחד. בניגוד למה שאומרים, לא יכול, אי אפשר לעקור, אי אפשר אנחנו נחסל אותם עד
The question is, what will Hamas do? And Hamas has indicated they want the war to be over with, so we might have the right combination to actually pull all of this off. In the meantime, Trump is pressuring Netanyahu from Israel, Qatar, and Egypt to all work together to pull this off. And clearly, Trump wants to go forward in the Middle East, changing the entire Middle East by bringing other nations into the Abraham Accords and completely reshaping the Middle East and capitalizing on the most recent successes of Israel defeating the proxies of Iran and U.S. and Israel defeating Iran in the 12-day war. Now, Steve Witkoff and Ron Dermer, Dermer from Israel, they've been working very diligently on this. Here's the latest we understand on the proposal for the ceasefire. We're talking about a 60-day period, but again, these 60 days are to permit the negotiations to go forward to end the whole war. They're going to release the remaining hostages, and specifically, there's going to be five separate releases. No ceremony this time being done by Hamas. There will be 10 living hostages released, 18 bodies returned. This is the initial agreement, but again, they're looking to be able to bring the entire conflict to a conclusion. Now, interestingly, to back this up, U.S. lawmakers here in the United States have made a proposal. They want to give Israel, are you ready for this, on-call access to B-2 bombers and bunker busters for the U.S., that they can call for a mission from the U.S. to come back and deal with any of their future enemies for that. I think that's the trade-off that Netanyahu is going to get for his agreement to cooperate with Trump on these matters. There are several IDF ops going on in Gaza, but the problem is now that Defense Minister Katz has come back and warned Israel and the government that any further operations on their part may in fact threaten the lives of the remaining hostages because they're down to the final elements where the last hostages are with the Hamas operatives. As they go in to eliminate the Hamas operatives, they may in fact injure the live hostages. So he's offering caution with regard to their future operations. Supporting the efforts against Hamas, Palestinian militia groups, several of them now formed up in the southern part of Gaza, and they are working against Hamas. putting additional pressure on Hamas to give it up. Hamas knows they cannot win, and they are simply trying to survive. To coin the expression, Hamas operatives are dead men walking. They know that once the war is over with, once the ceasefire goes into effect, they still have to deal with Mossad and Shin Bet, the intelligence agencies within Israel, because Israel has vowed that they're going to go in and eliminate all the Hamas operatives. So if it's not going to be done in open warfare, as we see at the moment, it probably will follow after the war is over with. And Israel is pretty good about taking out individuals that they need to take out in the Middle East. Internally, in Israel, Netanyahu is on trial for one of the charges of bribery. And it has to do with, you're not going to believe this, but it has to do with receiving some cigars as a gift from an American friend. They're trying to prove that there was a quid pro quo, Netanyahu got something, and as a result, this guy got something. That's all been proved to be false. And so the trial's now turned into purely a witch hunt, a political trial. Trump sees that as a political trial, just like what he's had to incur himself. And so he's decided to step up and speak into internal politics, the internal judicial process in Israel, calling for the entire trial to be dismissed. That's, first of all, that's very strange for an American president to do that. But knowing Trump's background and what he's had to deal with and seeing what Netanyahu's having to deal with, you can understand his feelings and his opposition to witch trials, particularly political witch trials. He also wants Netanyahu to be free and available to him to work on other international security issues, and he's claiming that that should take precedence over any trial that might be going on inside of Israel. And he has a kind of a point with regard to that. At the moment, also as a result of the war, Israel is trying to deal with the fact that they have more than 10,000 Israeli citizens displaced and not in their homes as a result of the war. Several of those very large apartment buildings got hit by missiles. The entire structures have been condemned. They're unsafe to live in. So it wasn't just the one side of the building that got hit and a few families in their homes. All the people that were living in the building have been displaced, and so they've got to go into a massive effort to replace them and get them situated again. A major undertaking right now in Israel, trying to get supplies and foods and so forth to them to take care of their own citizens. The IDF this last week took out a major Hamas cell in Gaza, saw where there was about 20 of them all in one location, went in, took the whole place out. And again, it was one of the last ones they're doing it. Katz, again, is concerned about finding more of those and accidentally hitting hostages where they're located at. The IDF also hit some Hezbollah leaders that were rising up in Lebanon. They also went into Syria and hit an Iranian secret cell that had been set up in southern Syria, went in, captured all of those guys as well, again showing the threat of Iran is still in and around the Middle East in various places. But Israel was able to secure that group that was in Syria. By the way, the new Syrian leader, is trying to make all kinds of peaceful overture towards Israel. He is a former ISIS leader, quite honestly, not to be trusted. Israel is playing the wait and see game. Syrian leader says he would like to be part of the Abraham Accords, would like to have a good relationship with Israel. And to tell you the truth, I think the reason why he's really saying that is not only to bring about at least some peace and prosperity back to his nation of Syria, he also has watched Israel successfully. If you want to get into a conflict with Israel, Israel's real good about taking out the leadership of the enemies. And he's now the leader of Syria, and he would be on the bullseye in case Syria decides to act up against Israel. I think that has a lot to do with his good attitude toward Israel. There are still a couple of rockets flying out of Gaza. And oh, by the way, the guys that launched the rockets, they were immediately eliminated. Still a couple of rockets coming out of Yemen. They've all been shot down, but we still have that residual activity going on in Israel with the red alerts throughout the nation. Iranian leaders are refusing to give up and admit defeat, claiming victory. They've threw their weight around, passed through the parliament, and Khomeini also agreed to it. They've renounced their agreement with the IAEA. They're not going to cooperate with the UN agreement, the inspectors that would come in and look at any future nuclear sites. Does that mean that they're rebuilding their nuclear program and that they're going to pursue a nuclear weapon? Well, the latest DOD estimate, and this is a more refined final estimate, says that based on the damage that's been done to Iran and the nuclear sites, they've set back any nuclear program that they could ever do by at least 2 years. Now, that means that if Iran were to immediately today begin a nuclear program and try to rebuild, that it would take them at least 2 years to get to a position of being where they were before. That Fordo plant that got hit, that took 14 years for them to build. They're not going to be rebuilding that if they attempt to try to do a nuclear program again. Of course, President Trump, when he was asked about this, what's the possibility if Iran tries to do it again, he just quickly snapped back that we'll probably hit them again with some more B-2s. So it's not going to work for Iran to do it, and I think that they probably are going to shift gears and try to do other things. Iran doesn't have any money, and they don't have enough money to cover the needs that they have right now. They may talk a lot about a nuclear program, but the fact of the matter is they have so many other needs that they need to make that they don't have the money to be able to do it. Furthermore, they also are aware of the fact that Israeli Mossad is working full-time inside of Iran and keeping track of everything they do. And in fact, one of the things that Iran is doing right now is mass arrests of people they think are involved with Mossad, and there are executions taking place of hundreds of Iranian citizens trying to eliminate the intelligence networks that are working against them. Iran has alluded to the possibility that they could mine the Straits of Hormuz. This has always been a threat from Iran that they could disrupt 20% of the world's oil supply coming out of the Persian Gulf, mining it. That way, no ships would be able to travel through there. However, that's being watched very closely. And if Iran were to decide to do that, then the U.S. Navy would probably come into action and probably take out the entire Iranian Navy. Besides, the U.S. Navy has lots of ships in the region that expressly is to remove sea mines should they get planted by Iran. So I don't think that's going to be an effective tactic on their part. So let's step back for a moment, looking at what has recently happened, particularly between Israel and Iran, and how does it fit within the prophetic scenario? There are a couple of different teachers and voices out there on the internet suggesting that maybe what we're seeing here is some of the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog and Magog War. And while some of it sounds interesting in that regard, I don't think it really fits the prophecy at all for what we have seen. There's no question that Israel's had a tremendous victory, but part of the Ezekiel 39 prophecy talks about a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes on the conclusion of that. We haven't seen that, so I'm not leaning toward that as being a fulfillment. But there is another passage in Jeremiah 49 that talks about the land of Elam and the Elamites. Elam is the zone of Iran, particularly along the western part of Iran, along the Persian Gulf. And Jeremiah, the prophet, has something to say specifically about him. If you read those few words that it has, it seems to fit some of the description of what we've just seen take place in the 12-day war. So that's the prophecy of Jeremiah 49. Again, we watch all of these events, compare them to the prophetic passages that we find in the scripture, to see if there are any clues and any lend any understanding to what is God doing in that part of the world. There's some very interesting discussions going on inside of Israel politically, particularly within Likud political party. That's Netanyahu's party that's in control of the government. The discussions go that now is the time for Israel to make a bold move, and that is to annex Samaria and Judea, what we commonly call the West Bank. If they were to do that, that would change the map of Israel, and the Palestinian areas of the West Bank would cease to exist. The Palestinians lived there would eventually become Israeli citizens to become part of Israel. The terrorists that are in that West Bank regions have been eliminated. The IDF and Shin Bet has been working on that very hard. So what do you do with Gaza? Well, Saudi Arabia made a proposal that let's have Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the PA, since he's not going to be there in Israel anymore with those areas, maybe he could be in charge of Gaza. Well, Mahmoud Abbas is not in good health. He does not have the strength that he had many years before. Quite honestly, there's no way that he could possibly do that. Plus, those are all the Hamas people as opposed to the Palestinian Authority people. So I have a proposal. It's not a serious proposal, mind you, on who could be in charge of Gaza, because the thing is a total mess. That is, you know, Joe Biden's looking for something to do. Maybe he could be in charge of it, or better yet, Barack Obama. He's still capable, physically capable. Put him in charge of it. And that makes about as much sense as putting a boss in charge of it. There's a big question mark over what is going to happen to Gaza in the future when this war is over with. It is an incredible mess in the Middle East with regard to that. We need to continue to pray about the troubles that are in the Middle East. These ceasefires that are taking place between Iran and Israel, possibly with Gaza and Hamas, they're ceasefires. They're not the end of war. Peace does not come. And there's still ongoing struggles throughout the entire Middle East. Pray for our ministry here. Please hit like, share, and subscribe on your YouTube channel. Subscribe to RelianOnLamb.tv program. We can get a free Yavo. We're on podcasts on multiple platforms. Follow us on the social media, those that are listed there. We'd love to have you come join us for the Feast of Tabernacles this fall. To register, go to tabernaclesevent.com. And this month, we have a special for you for the month of July. This is the Zadok calendar set. It includes a calendar for the year, a book explaining the Zadok calendar, and a DVD teaching from Eddie Chumney that goes through and explains what is the Zadok priestly calendar, where is it described in the Bible, and how does it have a part of our faith today. All of this for a $40 donation for it. In the meantime, have a happy 4th of July, or Independence Day, as we say here in America, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you.